I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And every time I come to Hope Church, it's like coming back my hometown and seeing familiar people. And we often call the worshipers of hope hopefuls. And I truly believe and trust that you have that hope, the hope of glory of our God. This is the title of my message today, Rejoice in Hope. And if I have to ask you, are you a person who is blessed? And how are you blessed? What would be your answer? I hope your answer would be that because I am justified by faith in Christ Jesus, and now have peace with God. And that is the greatest blessings that any Christian can have. But that's not the only blessing that we can receive in this life as a Christian. There are several more blessings that we can receive in this life. In fact, there are three I'd like to mention to you from Romans 5, verse 2. So if you're not there with me, please turn to Romans 5, verses 1-3. And I will read that passage again, if you allow me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now Paul, in this book, the book of Romans, has written many, many solid doctrines. Any one of you who have studied the book of Romans knows that the book of Romans is known as the Magna Carta of the Christian faith, which means the declaration of Christian doctrines, of Christian faith. And if we study the book of Romans, we see that from chapters 1 to 4, Paul tells us about the destiny of man and his fallenness. And we know that his fallenness results in man's punishment and judgment in eternal hell. But Paul also mentioned that in Christ Jesus, God has provided a way of salvation to man by his life and his death. Now we often think about Jesus Christ being our Savior who died for us on the cross. That is true. Now the death of the cross removed the punishment from us, because he is the one who died on our behalf, but he also lived for us his perfect life on earth. Therefore, his perfect life or his perfect righteousness can be ours, can become ours by imputations, by grace through faith. This is how he saved us. And so Paul is going to elaborate that on the book of great book of Romans. And we mentioned the greatest blessings that a Christian can have is peace with God. And how are we having peace with God? It is because before we're saved, you must know that the Bible clearly says that God is one, angry at our sin. And this one thing that we don't mention very often, perhaps we heard about Pastor Keith preaching about this doctrine many times, but you don't hear this very often being preached in other churches. God is angry at our sin, and God, when Jesus Christ, his Son, died on the cross, he poured all of his wrath upon his Son as he died on the cross. Therefore, he took upon the punishment on our behalf. Therefore, we can have the peace with God because of him. And that is the greatest blessing we can have. And now Paul is going to tell us that few blessings that we can receive from God through Christ Jesus. Particularly in verse 2, the first one he says is, through Christ Jesus we have
gained access to God. Verse 2 says, by whom, that is Christ Jesus, also we have access by faith. Now the word access is a very relevant word. It is a big word nowadays today. We know that each year millions and millions of refugees have been displaced from their hometowns and refused access to their home. They're refugees. They have nowhere to go. We know that the army camps and government buildings are guarded by police and are restricted access by the public. Only if you are a person who are given the authority, then you can enter into those buildings. Access to your doctors even, you know, particularly in Australia, requires appointments to be made over the phone. And one of the things that the people coming from other Asian countries that they find it a bit inconvenient is that, and they say that, well, when I'm in my bank, my hometown, I can see doctors almost anytime, anywhere. I didn't have to even make an appointment. I can just go and see the doctor. But right here in Australia, we need to make appointments to have that, gain access to doctors. And of course, you also cannot get into any university without any proper access. You need to have certain grades and study hard, therefore you can get into the university that you want to get into. And we locked our doors, I hope you do, to refuse access to thieves and unwanted people into your homes. And we guard our precious belongings and by placing a password to refuse access to people who want to hack into your system or computer or your safety boxes. So access are given only to people with authority, with right to access certain things or access into certain buildings. People with authority can have access. Now, do you realize that we have that access to God? We have been given that authority to go directly into the Holy of Holies because of Christ Jesus. We have that access. That is something that we, such a blessing that sometimes we take for granted. So the word access here in Romans 5:2, now this is the word of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He believes that the word access may not fully describe the full extent of its implications. And he says, the word access really means what our Lord Jesus Christ does is to introduce us to God. So the idea there of access is for Jesus Christ to introduce us to God. And he goes on to say, we can't go to him as we are. He, that is the Lord Jesus, introduces us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who does it all, by whom also the peace we have is through him. And this introduction, this access, is also entirely and only in him. He clothes us with his righteousness. He takes us by the hand, unquote. You see, no man can see God and live, but God has sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to this world, and his Son says, I am the way. Now, when Jesus says, I am the way, he's not merely providing you a way to God. He says, I am the way. So the only way for you to be able to gain access to God is to be united with him, to believe in him, to become one with him. That is the only way, my friends. If you are here still not a believer, I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not showing you the way to God. You need to be united with him, to become one with him. You need to be in him in order to gain access to God, his Father. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. I invite you to turn with me to that passage in Hebrews, Hebrews 10. Verses 19 to 22. Again, this passage tells us about the importance of that access and tells us, in fact, three aspects of that access. If you're there, I read Romans 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ or Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is the veil that separated between the holy place and the holy of holies. Then he goes on, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So what are we told here? There are three things I want to tell you from this passage regarding access to God. First of all, it tells us we have direct access to God. We have a direct phone call to God. We do not have to go through another mediator. We can just go to God through Christ Jesus. We can have the direct access. That's a wonderful thing. Now, back in the New Testament, for those of you who do not know, there were tabernacles and there were temples. And there were always a thick veil that separated the most holy place, the Holy of the Holies, and the holy place. Now, the Holy of Holies, of course, is where the Ark of the Covenant rests. And only the great high priest, the high priest, able to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. Now, what happens when Christ dies? The veil was rent from top to bottom. Now, this is an interesting thing. A lot of people do not realize that the veil was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. It's because God is the one who rent the veil. Because Jesus Christ broke His flesh and enabled us to get access to God directly. And it was God who did it. He rent the veil that separated between the holy place, the most holy place, and the holy place, enabling us to go into the mercy seat to make prayers and supplication to God directly. That's such a blessing, and we often sort of overlook that and sort of take that for granted and say, well, you know, making a prayer is so easy. But it is easy, it's true. But Jesus was the one who made that possible, and He made it possible by breaking His flesh, by dying for us on the cross, shed His blood on the cross for us. And that's the first thing that we mentioned, that the writer of Hebrews mentions here, we can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Number two, he says we have effective access to God. That means that we can speak with Him freely, not only directly, but freely and with certainty that He will hear us. And we know that U.S. President Donald Trump has many children. One of his children, the youngest one, his name is Barron. I think he's about 11 years old right now. And being a young chap, and he loves his father, he would love to go to his father. Now, he doesn't only go to his father on formal occasions, of course, but he goes to his father also in other occasions. And he can go to the White House, the Oval Office, anytime he wants, as long as I know that his father is not in the meeting. Right? I can speak with him freely and with boldness, with confidence that his father will hear him. And that is the kind of father we have in heaven. We not only can go into him directly anytime we want, we can speak with him boldly, with confidence, because of Lord Jesus Christ. And it was impossible back in the Old Testament day for any person to go into the Holy of Holies. As I said, only the high priest once a year. And for a Jew to have that access, to have that privilege through Jesus Christ is such a blessing. That's such an unthinkable fact. But for us Gentile Christians, probably we don't realize that importance. We don't realize that kind of significance there. But it's such a blessing and privilege for us to be able to go to God directly and boldly and speak with Him freely. That's number two. So we have direct access to God. We also have an effective access to God. Make that we are sure that He will hear us. Number three, we have an intimate loving access to God. Now, this, of course, is not mentioned here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, but our Lord taught us how to pray to God. The first thing is that, Our Father in heaven. Every time we call out God, we don't just call Him God, my Savior. It's true, He's our God, He's our Savior, but He is our Father, Abba, Father. For those of you who are fathers, I'm sure you love, or mothers, I'm sure you love your children to come to you and say, Daddy, I love you so much. And that's usually that my children will come to you and say, oh, Daddy, I love you. There's something I want to tell you. That we ought to be able to go to God and do the same thing. Say, God, I love you. You're my Father. And I want to say to you, I want to pour out my heart to you. Will you listen to me? And you ought to be able to do that. So we not only have the direct access, we can go to Him directly. We have the effective access, like making sure that He will hear us anytime. And we also have the intimate, loving relationship with God. That kind of access we have with God, all because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all because of what He has done for us. So Paul says that we have gained access to God through Christ Jesus, and we say that the access is direct, it's effective, and it's also loving and intimate. Number two, through Christ we are standing in the grace of God. Also in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Why did he use the word stand? Why didn't he use the word where, you know, and we have access by faith into this grace wherein we sit or wherein we are? Now, I'm sure you heard the hymns, standing in the promises, right? Standing in the promises. Why do we stand instead of sitting down and instead of just being there? Now, the word stand there has the connotations of standing firmly upon something, standing whole, standing firm, standing fast in a certain place that is unmovable. So when Paul or the scripture writers use the word stand, it is trying to remind us that the grace that we receive from God, the salvation that you have had through Christ Jesus, cannot be taken away by any man, not even the devil. So he's telling us that we have that faith into the grace where we stand. We stand firmly, unmovable. That cannot be taken away. That will not be moved, not by any man, not even by the devil himself. That is trying to tell us. So Paul reminds us that we not only have been brought into this grace, but we also stand firmly set in it. That we stand in it, it means there is nothing uncertain about us. I mean, there's no falling from grace. Once you're saved, you are forever saved. Your salvation is secure, not because you are good, not because you working hard, trying to preserve and secure your salvation. It's because Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who is making sure that you will be saved and you will not be fallen from grace. He is our great high priest. He is there interceding for us in heaven. He's making sure that we will save to the end. So that is what he means when Paul says we gain access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now I would like to quote to you again from Martin Lloyd-Jones. I quote, "There is nothing more wonderful than this, to be introduced into this grace by Christ, to be set there by Him, to be established there by Him, to be made to stand in it by Him, and to know that we are eternally secure. May God, by His Spirit, enable us to understand this. We must never be apologetic Christians again. We must never be doubtful and hesitant and uncertain. We must look to Him and make our boast in Him and declare that in Him we are standing in His grace. We must go to God with confidence, knowing that He is our loving Heavenly Father, who now delights to see us and to receive us in a way beyond our highest imagination." Unquote. That is sort of summarized everything so far we have talked about. So firstly, through Christ, we have gained access to God. And we say that the access is direct, it is effective, and it is intimate and loving. Secondly, through Christ we are standing in the grace of God, which means our salvation can never be lost because He, Christ Jesus, is the one who is making sure that we will be saved to the end. Thirdly, and finally, through Christ we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Again in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now you need to understand that Paul is not here trying to encourage us to rejoice. He's not even trying to extort us to rejoice. He's describing a normal Christian life. It is normal for you, Paul says, for you to rejoice. He doesn't say, hey, please be joyful, okay? Because you're a Christian. He said, no, it is normal for all of us to rejoice. Because we have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now we have peace with God. And we have direct access with God. And we can go to Him like our Father intimately and talk to Him and anything you want and can pour our hearts unto Him. So rejoice. But He says, we should rejoice in glory of God. What does that mean? A lot of time that we think that the salvation, a lot of people think salvation is just about getting saved, right? And getting saved sounds like it's a good word. And getting saved, if we look at it carefully, salvation consists of justification, then, and we have that sanctification process, right? And then we have the glorification, right? So when we say that we have hope of glory, what are we talking about? We're not talking about justification and sanctification alone. We're talking about glorification, the day that we receive Christ Jesus. And when we see Him, we will realize that we shall be like Him. And that is the hope of our redemption. That is the hope of glory. We shall see God face to face, and God's glory will be our eternal inheritance itself. And we shall hope in that glory. That's why a lot of people in the book of Hebrews, especially in the chapters of faith, in chapter 11, tells us a lot of things that all of these people who are suffering and going through trials are able to withstand all these trials and endure because they are looking forward to the day that they will see God face to face and living in the city of God in heaven. And that is the glory that they shall inherit. And with that kind of hope, they don't care really what's happening here on earth. And we heard about the prayers that Pastor praying. And it moves my heart every time when I hear those prayers. And people are suffering, I know. And people are going through difficult times. We need to encourage them. But at the same time, we need to remind them that we have the hope of glory in the future. And that hope is yours. It cannot be taken away. It's not something that you are still waiting to have or receive. It is yours. And you're on the way to heaven, to a better place. And that should make us joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. And Paul says, because of this, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One commentator puts it this way: we are happy in the enjoyment of that peace and have a blessed foretaste of eternal glory. Thus we have heaven upon earth and the ineffable glories of God in prospect. Heaven on earth. Now the happiest people on earth are not the people who are most affluent, necessarily. Australians, people who live in Australia, America, generally speaking, have more money than people who are in the third world countries. You know, but you'd be surprised that the happiest people on earth is not Australia, not Australians or Americans. Okay, but of course, these statistics tells us that these people are happy not necessarily because they have God, but they can be happy in many ways, different ways. As for Christians, we should be happy, we should be blessed, feel blessed and joyful because we have that eternal glory in prospect. It is coming. It is coming to us.
Is your joy particularly in hope as your life takes you to the grace, because you know that when you see, when we all see Christ, then we shall be like Him. For you there is no condemnation. We say that we have peace with God. That peace is such a wonderful blessing. Now, can you imagine a person who knows that he has sinned against God and he's sinned against man, yet he's not forgiven by both, and he is condemning himself and being condemned by the Spirit of God every day without Christ. But now you have that now you have the peace with God. You know that there's no more condemnation. No, God is no longer angry at your sin. You have the peace with Him, all because of Christ Jesus. And you have become His son or daughter, become His children. But I know that we can all have bad days in lives, trials and sufferings. Understand that there are days that we are confronted with problems, either at works or in schools, in the families, sometime at church. Hopefully not. And sometimes when that happens, we are being led by our feelings, and our feelings can cloud our judgments, can blur our heavenly visions, and we can no longer rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By the way, feelings and emotions are not bad. If we're without feelings and emotions, it will be terrible. We wouldn't be able to say, I love you. Your children won't be able to appreciate what you have done for them. But I believe that when we are saved, God is renewing also our emotions, our feelings, so that we can fix our focused heavenward. So whenever we are experiencing trials and sufferings and bad days and bad times, and we can still rejoice in Christ Jesus, that enables us to do two things. First thing is that we are able to help other Christians to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be an example to other Christians to see us in all kinds of adverse circumstances and difficulties, yet we have a joy and peace and rejoicing spirit. And that would be an encouraging testimony. Now, oftentimes you go and visit people who are suffering from some illness and diseases, and they are Christians for years and years, and oftentimes you think that you want to go there and encourage them, but at the end you get encouraged by these people. They say, "I am still good. Praise the Lord. You know, doesn't matter what kind of situation I am in, but I thank God for my present situations." You know, brother, you know, move on, carry on with the ministry. I'm praying for you and things. And I'm so encouraged by these people. Although they're in such a terrible, humanly speaking, terrible trials and situation, but you get encouraged by them. That's one thing we can do when we still rejoice in Christ Jesus, in the hope of God, despite our sufferings and trials. Second thing, it's also a testimony, but testimony to non-Christian friends. Now, do you want your Christian, non-Christian friends to see you always have a long papaya face when you go to work and say, "Hey, you're a Christian, but how come you always look sad and moody?
You know what papaya face is, right? The moody face, the long, grumpy face, always sad and angry. Or you want your non-Christian friend to see you always, hang around with a happy face. But of course, your happiness must be rooted and founded upon the hope, right? In glory, not some kind of artificial smile. Say, I'm happy because I'm a Christian, but I don't know why I'm happy. I just want to smile at people so that people can be impressed. No, your smile, your joy, your happiness must be genuine. And when people see you smiling, always rejoicing, despite of all everything that's going around you, then people be attracted to you and say, hey, I'd like to know more about this person. Hey, I'd like to know more about this person's faith. He said or she says that she's a Christian. I want to go to that church one day and see what he is listening to on Sunday. Right? So that is the kind of thing that we can do when we rejoice in hope. That too. The Bible tells us to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. When you have joy in God and looking forward to the glory and prospect, you have strength. The strength to be a good example to believers and strength to be a testimony, a good testimony, a positive testimony to your non-Christian friends. So firstly, today we have looked at through Christ, we have gained access. We mentioned that access is direct access. We do not have to go through anyone else. We can go through Christ Jesus to God our Father. And it's also an effective access. We can go to Him and pour our hearts and say to Him whatever God is in our hearts. And thirdly, we say that that kind of access is also an intimate and loving access. Also mentioned, secondly, through Christ, we are standing in the grace of God, which means that those promises are firmly secure. Our salvation can never be lost because Jesus Christ, again, is the author and finisher of our faith. Thirdly, through Christ Jesus, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And such hope gives us strength to what? To be a good example to other believers to look up to you, and strength for us to be a good testimony to other friends who are not Christians, so they will be attracted to you now and to come to hear the gospel preached and be saved and to receive the same hope as you have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word from the book of Romans. Father, I pray that you continue to bless this congregation to rejoice in hope. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to have peace with God in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we are able to have the direct access to you because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Father, I pray that every one of us here may not take that privilege for granted, but we will go to you directly, like our Father, to pour our hearts unto you on a daily basis. And help us, O Lord, whenever we are in difficult trials and in difficult times, remind us, O Lord, we have the hope in prospect, the glories in prospect. Give us strength, O Lord, also to be a good example to other believers and also a good testimony to other Christians who might be observing us and looking at us, observing us as how Christians should live and how we live. We pray that we will be a good testimony so that they will be able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now, so this in Jesus' name. Amen.